What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff.
Z-105!
Now we're back!
But Jason did a fantastic job hosting the show. And I was wondering, you might not need me. You're doing good with all
this. Oh, I know. I need you. I don't want to do that again.
Except for the outros. You did mess those up. But that's fine.
Yeah, I tried.
I like the best part was you were like something about Stitcher or what are we on? Whatever you get your podcast, that's where
yeah.
we are.
Whatever. You know how to find it. I don't know how to get I know how to get it there. You know how to find it.
That's right. And this week's guest is Hoodat Fitz, two-time winner, which we'll get to you in a second. But yeah, let's see. Okay, the Kingdom of the Hoodats, because I was in the Kingdom of Hawaii. The Hoodats is in full party mode, chanting Teddy, Teddy, as they parade through the streets. And the Doubters have been converted, except for Scott Greenbaum, as the Saints continue to rally behind number five, TB5, as I like to call him, while the greatest of all time continues to recover. And we're going to talk about that Saints-Bucks games. We're going to talk about the quarterbacks. We're going to talk about the team and Sean Payton's coaching. We have a lot of tweets that we're going to get to, some from post-game yesterday, some from the call-out for Look at Him tweets. And we will catch up on pick'ems. Maybe we'll find why Fitz is missing a week. And then we'll preview the next game, which is going to be against the Jaguars. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I will go with a one, as been kind of a little tradition this year, just drinking a little bit of wine to celebrate the victory, getting to 4-1. You know, that I don't know, I think that crossover episode kind of scarred me a little bit to where I really don't want to get to that point. But also hosting the last 2 weeks, like I mentioned to James last week, I said, yeah, when you host a show, you kind of don't want to drink that much, so... So I'm taking it easy. I'm sure there'll be a game maybe the bye week or something where I'll go off the rails again. But for now, it's going to be smooth sailing.
You can count on it.
Just as long as I don't tweet any instant overreactions that are sure to go wrong.
Or me on Twitter and letting every typo yesterday come through.
Hey,
I was getting sloppy. I was celebrating. All right. But like we said, Hoodat Fitz, thanks for joining us. What's your number if you have one, or how you feeling?
I'm at a 2 or 3, somewhere in there. I picked up some of that Hoodat.
Oh,
goes into, from Urban South. And it's pretty good. It's pretty much a regular like lager type beer. But I picked up that in the, what's it called? The Never Bitter that they made. The Urban South Never Bitter, but slightly petty with the flags all over it. So, I picked that one up and had one of each. So,
awesome.
Yep.
Good. You got yourself a number. I like that. So, yeah, thanks for agreeing to be the guest of the week. And we owed it to you anyway for winning. So now our debt is paid in full, right?
Yeah.
His second time on the show. I want to say hi to the people watching on the live stream that we know of so far. John Tyson, Scott Greenbaum, Adam Groh, Dave Miette, Aaron King, Michael Hedden, who says, welcome back, Jeff. Jason was a great host, but he's a better Scottie Pippen.
No arguments
give
there.
Give him a Pelicans reference. A better and Aaron King says, who that? So, all right, yes, we're here. I guess the first thing we'll do, it's been a while since I've hosted, but I do remember, I believe the first segment is game recap. Saints shellacked the Bucks, dominated the Bucks. The best performance of the season.
That garbage touchdown. Oh, we only won by 7. But really, we were in control for a lot of the, especially in the second half. You know, I had mistakenly sent out a bad tweet in the first quarter, which went against my rule that I set last year of, don't tweet anything during the game. Don't read Twitter during the game because 5 minutes later, something's going to happen and your tweet looks so stupid.
And... Oh, that's on Look at Him tweets. We'll
okay.
I penned that one.
Oh, of course you did.
So yeah, I think this is the first game, though, where they kind of had the offense and defense show up. Last week, it was more just defense.
Yeah, the offensive line, more than anything, was the difference maker, right? I mean, the fact that they didn't blow plays up with holding, or at least just getting called for holding for no reason.
They did really well in pass protection. I feel like run blocking, there's still some work that needs to be done. You know, it didn't seem like there were a lot of holes to run through. But, just the fact of not having all those penalties that we've had, I mean, just drive killers. Not having that really allowed the offense to get into a rhythm, allowed Teddy to get into a rhythm. It was a big improvement.
How'd y'all feel about Teddy dropping the deep ball? I mean, seemed to be on the money on a couple of those throws, really.
I kind of figured it was coming because the last 2 weeks, that's all they talked about was that he didn't throw a pass over 20 yards. So I knew Strom was going to dial it up because that's just the way he is. If you say that they're only doing one thing, he's gonna throw something else at you.
This is true.
Yeah, and what kind of triggered, you know, my tweet was early in the game. He missed. Was it maybe Cook in the end zone? It was a little off, a little high, which has kind of been his issue the first couple of games. And then the interception, which really was Kamara.
After the pick is when you said it.
Okay. And, look, Kamara should have caught the ball, but the ball was behind him, and that was kind of like, oh, come on, Teddy, you got to hit that throw.
You do wonder if, you know, we always say Drew Brees makes everybody better, right? So it's because every ball is put exactly where it needs to be to make it the easiest catch possible. And maybe our receivers are just not used to having to, I got to turn backwards a little bit. I'm not used to that. So Kamara didn't know what to do with that. But, yeah, to me, you got to catch that. You have to catch that ball in the NFL.
And, you know, it's like I can't get mad at anything that Kamara does because of everything that he has done. So it's like, God, that sucks. But, man, if Teddy throws it in a better spot, it's an easier catch. But after that, Teddy was really on. I mean, that kind of crossing route he threw to Thomas right over the defender was one of the better throws I've seen Teddy make all season. It was a beautiful throw right there.
As Blaine put it on the live feed, dropping dimes. And I believe I even said he just dropped a dime right there.
Better than dropping a deuce, right?
Unless it's Deuce McAllister.
I don't even know.
All right, so you brought up Jared Cook, so we do need to talk about this. I listened back to the last two episodes that you did with Mike and James. And one of those, y'all were talking about Jared Cook, and I think the conversation that was brought up is how much more like leeway do you give him before like you've got to start producing for this team? And somebody, I think it was Mike maybe, that said, you know, wait till Drew comes back because he gets a pass while he's receiving from Teddy. I don't know. Like, we paid some good money. He's supposed to be what we predicted, a top 10 tight end in the league. You're supposed to catch – I don't care who's throwing the ball. You're supposed to catch it. And he's kind of 50-50 lately, right? Giving him a benefit because he caught the touchdown pass. Didn't he catch the touchdown pass?
He did. Right? He did.
I think that's probably a chemistry thing, honestly, because, I mean, if you're not throwing the ball with Teddy every day, you know, probably ball comes out differently. From what I heard, he throws a harder pass, so it's – it's probably a chemistry thing with him, Teddy and Drew, because he hasn't really had a whole lot of time with both of them either. So,
yeah, I mean, he only had a game and maybe half of a quarter to play with Drew, and the whole offseason was him working with Drew. So I will give him that. But it did seem like they actively tried to get him a lot more involved in this game. I mean, a lot more passes thrown his way. A couple off target, but some of the ones that were on target, you know, he caught and scored the touchdown. And like I said last week, we need to get him involved, especially with Traquan came back this week and then left. You know, I noticed him in the injury tent for a while during the game, so I think he must have tweaked his ankle again. So he came back, and we'll find out tomorrow and Thursday, but he may miss some more games. So you need a guy like Cook to be involved in this offense. So I do like the fact that they got him involved because, like I said, we're going to need him.
Yeah. It almost seemed like they were forcing him to be involved in the beginning.
Sometimes, hey, whatever it takes, you know?
Well, and that's matchups. They're playing the matchups. And then Michael Thomas just turns loose. And what was that stat I read from somebody about – he lined up in like 9 times in press coverage.
Defender presses.
And he was 9 for 9, which is the first time anyone's ever done that many, you know, going nine for nine since they started making stats or keeping stats. This is kind of a impressive feat.
We all know how good Michael Thomas is. It just seemed like without Breeze, a lot of people were talking about, look, is there a ceiling with Thomas, you know? Is with Breeze in there, obviously we know what he can do, but with Teddy in there, is his ceiling a little lower? But this game just proved, no matter what, the guy can always get open. When in doubt, throw it to Michael Thomas. He's going to get open, and more than likely, he's going to catch the ball.
Yeah, he's strong, too. I don't know that there's any corner in the league that's stronger than him. So I think that press coverage just isn't a good idea against somebody stronger than you.
Good. Bridgewater gained his confidence, and he just got better as the game went on. Which, going back to him, that is something I wanted to bring up, was if you look at his progression week to week, and, yeah, they're slow dripping, kind of opening his game up each week as he gains that confidence. And the chemistry, like you said, Fitz, is like, you want to see that to me from your backup, maybe future starter, that you see noticeable improvement each week instead of you just seeing the same shit paraded out, you know, like, oh, he's consistently inconsistent or consistently bad. He's getting more confident. And I mean, that's where I attribute to those dime drops and the, he's not scared to throw it. And he's been more decisive against the Bucks. If you notice, all his decisions were crisp on time. I've been behind him all along, but I think any of the doubters or the Taysomites out there, I think, kind of got a little quiet after the Bucks game.
As they should. You can't look at it and say, yeah, Taysom's better than Teddy. You just can't. Like, get over your love of Taysom. And look, Taysom threw a pass this game and had a completion. I mean, he threw it to Michael Thomas, but still.
Kamara threw a pass.
Right? Kamara's got a better pass rating than Matt Ryan. and look, Teddy is a much more accomplished passer right now. If he is the future, you know, these progressions, these last couple of games, are a good sign. And we played such tough defenses the first few games. So you're tossing him in there, and he's got, you know, what was a tough Rams defense under Wade Phillips. I know they've had some issues the last couple of weeks, but Wade Phillips' defense also tend to play well against the Saints. And then you have Dallas, and then you have Seattle in Seattle. I mean, tough defenses. Now you get a Tampa defense that wasn't quite as good as the other few, and he let loose, and the stats kind of show it. So it is a really good progression that they need. It's crazy to think that we were hoping for 3-3, and now we're 3-0 with him.
Right. You got your three, so at this point it's a lanyard.
Yeah. Smooth sailing.
That's right. All right, let's look at the rushing game, because – you talked about the run blocking, Jason. But Kamara, he had a 3.9 average. And then Latavius Murray, who I texted you during the game, I'm like, is he still on the team? Where is he? I mean, he did actually run the ball 7 times, I think, towards the latter part of the game. And as the Mark Ingram fill-in, he did average 4 yards a carry with his limited numbers.
Right. I mean, and it did seem like they gave him a few more touches than before, which that's another guy. You know, you don't want to wear out Kamara like Carolina's wearing out McCaffrey. You know, I mean, even still, 16 carries for Kamara, that's still a lot. But, you know, gradually work Murray in. And I would like to see a little better job, a few more holes. But, I mean, at the end of the day, as a team, we did rush over 100. Not great. You know, only 3.6 yards a carry. But at least they committed to it.
Yeah, I think Kamara he helps the numbers a little bit, though, because there were some runs that nobody else in the NFL could have made that run. That 16-yard run where he cut back the other way, that should have been a 4-yard loss. So, yeah. I mean, Kamara helped out a little bit with those numbers, but I think there's room to improve definitely on the run blocking, though, because – if it wasn't Kamara back there, we wouldn't be looking as good.
Well, and there could be the issue of the defense knowing, hey, it's just Teddy Bridgewater. Let's stack the box and stop the run and force Teddy to beat you.
That's fair.
It's not like having Breeze back there where they clearly have to worry about Breeze every time. So
right. All right, we got to check in on the live feed. Daniel Benet says, love the show. Who dat? Let's see. Dave Miette says, hail to the donkey train.
Uh-huh.
That's the donkeys right there. And John Tyson, what's up? What's up? All right, so nobody's got anything to say about the game. All right, let's move over.
Hold on. We should talk about our boy Deontay Harris.
Oh, well, I was moving over to defense, but all right, let's talk about
I thought you were moving on.
Special teams.
I thought you were moving on from the game itself.
Yeah, or let's talk about the ugly before we go to the
okay, game. Yeah, you're right, to what won us the game.
All right, Deontay Harris, what do you think, before I say what I say?
He, not a great game for him, obviously. But again, he is a rookie. He's still, and I think Peyton said it, you know, he does offer so much potential in the return game that, look, he's got his issues right now, but we got to work with him and improve those aspects because he can be a valuable asset to this team, like he has helped in a couple games already this year. So while he did have a bad game, you can't bail on him. You can't just bury him and try to find another returner. But he does need to play better, but he needs to work on holding on to the damn ball. Because that's right. The one – you can't turn over the ball.
And Glenn, what do you think of him?
My blood pressure goes up every time he touches the ball. In a good way and a bad way. I
mean, one way or the
you
other.
Never know what you're going to get. Yeah. I mean, it's exciting every time, but sometimes it's exciting in the wrong way, you know?
Well, and to me, it's at this point, that's, what was it? Was it the Seattle game or the Dallas game that he dropped? He had a muff.
I think it might have been.
That was Seattle, maybe. Yeah, because Seattle, he had the drop. Dallas, he had the touchdown. Oh, no, Seattle was the touchdown.
No, Seattle, he had the touchdown, but then he also had a muff.
Okay, so he dropped one there. He dropped another one here. There was one that, you know, that after he got dinged, and he goes back there for the fair catch, and I do think they probably could have called a flag on the Bucs player for getting too close to him.
It did seem like he didn't give him enough room to make the catch, but...
But even still, the fact that he backed off of it, I think he lost his confidence. And I don't, at least for that game, maybe because of the injury, maybe because he's been having the dropsies. But I don't know. I look at a returner and you start assessing risk. And is it like I would rather a guy who's going to catch the ball and maybe get 5 yards every now and then than a guy who's going to drop it at the 10-yard line and give the other team the ball right there every other game? That's. A possession is worth more than the possibility of a touchdown. He's going to maybe the best. Who was the Bears returner that had like
– Hester. Nine? Devin Hester.
Yeah. Devin Hester. I mean, he's not – I mean, maybe he could be like a Hester, but
It's a tough balancing act, but if you think about it, over the last however many years, our punt returners have been 5 yards and nothing, and we've all bitched and complained about, man, we really need to find a returner who can change the game. I mean, his return against Seattle changed the game. And yes, you know, if he muffs it and loses the fumble, that is going to be a game changer as well, right?
You play to change the game.
But, I think he's still young, though. You got to give him a little bit of time because if he wasn't a rookie and he'd been in the league a while, but the potential's the upside is probably worth the risk. So
he's worth investing the time and effort in helping him get better.
Yeah. All right. I'll give him a little more time. But, yeah, yesterday I was kind of pretty frustrated. Not enough to tweet something ridiculous, but
oh, okay.
I was frustrated a little bit. Aaron King does call him Heart Attack Harris or Harris the Terrorist. Jesus, okay. I'll go with Heart Attack Harris.
That's a little extreme, but.
Vincent Burke does ask, is Taysom getting enough snaps or would any more just complicate the offense? Let's table that one for the tweets, since we moved on from the offense. Okay. Actually, let me pin it. All right. So the defense.
Uh-huh.
Ah, you lying them apples. Where do you want to start? Davenport, Cam Jordan, all the sacks, the pressures. The secondary, Eli Apple.
I'll start with at the beginning of the game. I texted in the UK WhatsApp. I predicted 3 interceptions this game, and we were close without those damn penalties. Yeah, I mean, one of those penalties was so stupid. Mr. Coach Klein grabbed it for no reason, grabbed him, wasn't even close to the play. And it was a great – it's a shame. Like, they were great interceptions, and they were nullified by stupid penalties. But
yeah, you heard that.
Yeah.
You would have had him because the first – the and I had replied to that DeMario Davis would get one of those three. And if he would have held on to that first possession – that Tampa had, and they threw it, it went into DeMario Davis's hands, and he dropped it. Then you had the one that was called back because they called holding on Lattimore on the other side of the field. And then you had the other one that would have been caught
by Eli. It was a delay of game one. They called a delay of game.
Yeah, that was the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there's like – you had your – you called it, and you had it. They just didn't happen. Or they didn't count. But, all right, so – speaking of Eli Apple, what was it, the first game he had a little – they all had a little trouble.
They all had a lot of trouble the first couple of games.
But Eli Apple's been playing lights out, which do you think that's part of how Lattimore's game is also improving? The fact that I had read something a couple weeks ago that was talking about Lattimore, his struggles were because he was trying to cover for or compensate for – deficiencies elsewhere, and he was trying to do too much. He lacked the trust, and now that the team is starting to gel again, and they're getting into a rhythm, and they're trusting each other, they're kind of staying in their assignments. Or was it play calling?
I don't think it has to do with Apple. Apple's on the other side of the field, but it does, you know, communication.
Well, yeah, Lattimore is more with the safety.
But communication. What kind of defense are you running? What kind of safety help are you getting? For some reason, the first week or two of the season, we always suck at it. I don't know why. And then it just gradually gets better, and that's kind of what's happened, I think.
I think the game plan was a little different in the beginning of the season. They were playing a lot of zone, and now they're back to man, which is what they've been kind of better at, is playing man.
Especially when you got the two guys like Lattimore and Apple who can play man.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a luxury that we've got, and you know, they're finally taking advantage of that. So it's crazy that Lattimore had held Evans to nothing. Because this was a Tampa team that the last 2 weeks, they've scored a ton of points. They've had a ton of offense the last 2 weeks. Evans had a 3-touchdown game 2 weeks ago. You know, last week they scored a bunch of points against the Rams. So to really shut them down, and I know the final – they had – you know, the final score was 24, but take away that last garbage time touchdown.
Which was an 80-yard drive or so. I mean, what, 70-something yards? As what? Take those yards away from them.
Yeah, that's a prevent defense and such.
Yeah, exactly.
But for a team that was rolling the last 2 weeks to shut them down like this, you know, I mean, it's crazy to think, like, we have a damn good defense.
How did they do that against the Rams? How did they do that last week against the Rams?
Well, they had two defensive touchdowns. Goff had three picks and a strip sack fumble.
Okay.
A lot,
that'll do it. Yeah. All right, check. Got that answer. Scott did say let Kamara return punts again. Or again.
And, you know, once Harris muffed, it's like, God, I guess maybe Kamara could do it. But we already make – you know, we're already – right, we already have Kamara do too much. We don't need him to return punts.
Yeah, we don't need the injury risk either.
Right?
All right, yeah. So you talk about the Evans Island or Lattimore Island,
Island, yeah. I mean, to hold Amari Cooper, now hold Mike Evans to zero, to nothing.
Which, remember last year, Mike Evans just shredded Lattimore in week one. There was a bit of a revenge factor maybe that motivated Lattimore. But talk about the defensive line with Davenport, especially at the end of the game. Now, were they getting all those sacks and pressures from blitzes, or is it really just the line being that good?
There's mostly the line.
Yeah. Is it? I mean, this defensive line is stout. And you know, getting Rankins back, having Onyemata. I mean, we all know how good Cam Jordan is, but Davenport, you know, this is what they envisioned when they spent the picks on him. I mean, the one sack, he just bull rushed the dude, ran right over him. And think about it, he's doing all this without like a real legit like pass rush move. that a lot of these veterans learn over the course. He's just using his athletic ability to do that. And
yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I saw something on PFF earlier that was like, I think Davenport's sixth in the league in pressures and Jordan's seventh in the league in pressures. So we got two guys that are top 10 in the league in pressures. That's like unheard of. That's like arguably one of the best defensive line in the league if you look at the numbers.
And I know the last couple of weeks they didn't necessarily get a ton of sacks, but they did get pressure. It's just Russell Wilson's playing out of his mind. Hard to get it, and Dak got rid of the ball quickly. But they are disrupting offenses, and that's how you win games. I mean, having the best defensive line, and really they won the game on the trenches this week.
Yeah. I mean,
such a dominant performance from this defensive line.
All right.
I can't say enough about him.
Final comments on the game before we get into the next segment.
It was fun to hear that the Teddy chants. The fact that now you're getting the fans behind you. Because I know initially everybody's like, no, I don't know. He's the guy. They were spoiled on Breeze. A lot of people wanted Taysom. And now to have the fans get behind him and chant Teddy at the game, that's gotta be great for him to hear too.
I was about to say, I think that's fantastic for him. It shows that not only has he won the team over, but he's won the fans over, and he's got the support, and it's that relationship that Saints fans and the players and the team have had with each other for so long, and I love seeing it come like that, like come into fruition like
that.
There
was a video posted. He ended up at a bar somewhere in New Orleans that night, and everybody in the bar was chanting Teddy.
Ah, awesome. All right.
I didn't see that.
Chopper style dance in the locker room. All right, let's move into Look at Him tweets. Let's start with this one. It came during the game from someone, Prime Donkey, I believe.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Get right into it.
And ride the donkey train, right?
It says, Teddy ain't it. Wanted to believe. This was right after the interception, so I'll give you that. Ian, you must have been in a sour mood at that point. You were nervous. You were scared.
I was scared. I had a little bit to drink, too.
Yeah.
And I just I broke my rule of not following Twitter, especially like at the game. Like, I don't need to check Twitter at the game. I really don't.
No, you're there.
Right? But in between those long-ass timeouts, it's like, nowadays you're just used to like, oh shit, it's habit, and it sucks because you tweet something and 5 minutes later it's proven completely wrong. it happens all the time during the game, and last year I got frustrated. I'm like, you know what, I'm not gonna check Twitter during the game.
And it was a better experience, wasn't it?
Oh, it's a 10 times better experience. Because everybody tweets something, and it's just the instant reaction of it all can just be negated, like you said, negated a couple plays later. It's like, I don't need that. I really don't need that. And I was proven an idiot, so it's not the first time.
And it won't be the last.
No, it won't.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The last couple of weeks, though, and then the way the game started, I was kind of feeling the same thing. But I don't think Sean Payton would have brought Teddy back for another year if he didn't think that he could potentially be the next guy, Because obviously he saw something to bring him back another year.
And I know I wasn't one of those Taysom people. I knew he was 100% the guy over Taysom for sure.
Yeah. I think I said that last time I was on the show, that I thought Teddy was the guy, and I was thinking, holy shit, I guess I was wrong. But then he kind of proved me wrong today.
Yeah, he proved a lot of people wrong.
Right, I guess.
But look, there were a lot of Saints fans that were still iffy on him. And this is one of those performances that he needed to get them on his side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he did. It just took him to get woken up a little bit, I guess.
It took a couple games.
Kudos to him for bouncing back from that pick, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, so Big Easy Guy, John, are you for or against Drew rushing back to beat the original timetable? Fitz, you go first since Jason's eating.
Is it fried fish?
No, that's only in the summertime.
He's not drunk enough.
You're right.
I mean, I think as long as we're winning, we should bring him back by week or the week before. You know, I mean, if he's ready to go, he's ready to go. But there's definitely no reason to rush him back. If he's kind of 80%, I'd say wait till you're 100% if we're winning. You know, that doesn't make sense to bring you back when you're not 100% if that team's winning. So I think the bye week would probably be a good time to transition. And it's coming at the right time.
But it would be a really cool motivating factor going up against Atlanta and having that be Drew Brees' return game.
Yep.
Yeah, I think especially because the game before the bye is the Cardinals, and I mean the Cardinals are one of the bottom five.
It'd be a good
ten.
Preseason game for Drew.
Right, right. But I would say, but if
series.
if that game was flopped with the Bears and we had the Bears that week, I would say maybe they might get him back for the game in Chicago. But being that it's, you know, I mean, because originally with the early timetable, I'm like, you know, that Bears game could be tough. Maybe we'd want to rush him back there. But especially if they win next week, I would for sure hold him out until the bye. Because at that point, even if we lose to the Bears, you can still beat Arizona and be 6-2 at the bye and be in a good position right where you want to be. And it makes sure that there's no issues with Brees when he is back. Because, you know, look, I know he – Brees is a weird guy like that. He is going to want to play as soon as possible, and we're going to have to do the right thing and not let him.
Then again, do you hold back the greatest of all time? You know, like you have two options here. You always take the best option, and Drew is great. I mean, I'm not saying no, like nothing against Teddy at that point, but it's Drew Brees. I mean –
I agree, but
you're going to take a healthy – I'll use air quotes – a healthy Drew Brees and put him on the bench.
If he's 100%, you bring him back. It doesn't matter. If he's 100%, right, you bring him back. But if he's not 100%, yeah, if he's like, I'm feeling okay to come back and I'm still a little sore or whatever it is, right, then you wait. But if he's 100%, then you obviously bring him back.
But I agree with you. Like 80% and we're winning, there's no need to rush him back.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to leave the 100 because you don't want to further the injury or you don't want to make it worse. You need him for the playoffs is what you want him. And like, if anything, this is the best thing to happen. He sits out a few weeks, keeps rested up. By the time we get through the bye week and the playoffs, he's got a couple of games to play and he's only played 8 games in the year. And that's about when he gets in his prime anyway.
Yeah, and I know
part of the plan.
And I know that video came out of him throwing the ball and everybody's pants moved, but we got to settle down.
That was a Nerf ball too. I don't think anybody realized.
Oh, was
that.
It? Yeah. I didn't know.
I knew it wasn't a regulation ball.
It was a therapy ball. That was just him doing his physical therapy. Calm down, everybody. All right. Let's check in on the live feed. Davis Douglas for the Pats released old man Ben Watson. Would you guys want him back? Great locker room guy, leader. You can never have enough of that.
I don't know what you bring him back. You got to cut somebody. Who you cutting? You know, that's one thing. But
how many active tight ends do we have?
Cuttable players.
I mean, do we only have two active tight ends on the roster now? Do we just have Hill and Cook? Hill and Cook. Yeah, because I don't think Arnold's on the active roster.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Arnold's on the team, but they don't activate him.
Okay. I mean, I would probably rather Watson than Arnold.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. If anything, just for the locker room leadership. And maybe, you know, when Cook – maybe that'll pressure Cook into catching a little bit more. You know, hey, we got the old man over here. You know, he's going to put his crutches down and come do something for us. All right, let's see. Next tweet comes from – here's a quick and easy – another one from Big Easy Guy John. Who gets your game ball?
Probably Teddy.
Yeah.
As important as the defensive line was, and you kind of want to give it to maybe Davenport, but it's got to be Teddy. Because they needed to score points against Tampa this week, and they did. And that's a lot of that's on Teddy.
The dude threw 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he got the call from Deion. I mean, that's – I don't know if you saw that, but –
I heard about it. I didn't watch it, but I did hear about it. And where he was like, you are a starter in this league and whatnot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I'm starting for the New Orleans Saints right now.
I mean, maybe you could say combination Teddy and also the hell of a coaching job that Sean Payton's doing right now.
Well, and I think we have a tweet or two about that. So let me if we don't get to it, that is the other talking point about this entire scenario. All right, so Triple D Kennels, am I a dick for still wanting number 7 to start asking for a friend? Yeah.
You're such a dick.
You're a dick. I have to plug that in right there. Actually, his real question, is it safe to say that our defense is legit this season?
Yeah, definitely.
Dude, this defense is – I mean, Jason, you said on the last couple episodes, I know that at the beginning of the season, both us and the UK guys rode your ass about saying how the defense was going to win and carry this team through some games. I mean, geez, it didn't need Drew Brees to go down for you to make your point, you know. But, dude, that is true.
I mean, they look, you know, throw out the week one game with crazy, because that's, you know, we suck in week one. But this looks like a top five defense right now. It really does. I mean, you could say maybe we're a little weak at the linebacker spot with Anzalone out. But they're solid enough. DeMario Davis is insanely good. I still can't believe that the Jets let him go.
Yeah, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level right now.
Yeah, but they're really, you know, outside of that, there really isn't a weakness on the defense. And the fact that the defensive line is so good, the fact that now with Davenport doing this, if you can get pressure without having to blitz, it's just so, so big. They continue to be stout against the run. They're getting pressure. That's all you can ask for. And the defensive line, you know, their play just improves the secondary as well. So, yeah, this is a top five defense right now.
Kind of reminds me – this whole scenario reminds me of that Peyton Manning's last year. Doesn't it?
Except Breeze isn't washed like Peyton was. Like
no.
Peyton
which
was
only
washed.
Gives me more confidence for the postseason. I mean, shit, if they could script that for Peyton, they've got to be scripting it for us, right? Because you know what I'm getting at.
Considering all the other bullshit that happened to us.
All right, and last one from Triple D Kennels, Battle of the Tight Ends. Hill is better than Cook. Prove me wrong.
I don't think it's close. Cook's definitely better, but I think Hill is more familiar with the offense, knows the schemes and all that, but he's younger.
Hill's probably a better blocker. I'll give him that.
That's why he's on the team. Yeah.
Which Hill is he talking about?
Either. If you're asking Scott Greenbaum. All right. And Greenbaum, speaking of, and on the live feed, says 6 sacks, game ball goes to the D-line. So, and that would probably be the other possibility. All right. Brandon Guidry tweets in. Now, this is the gift that keeps on giving. It's a retweet of someone out, DJ Crack, saying the Atlanta Falcons lost to the Houston Texans 32-53. Get your calculator out, folks. 53 plus 32 is 85. 85 divided by 3 equals 28.3. Falcons with a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Just had to bring that up. Never forget. Aaron King, who's watching right now, as someone who has been highly critical of Sean Payton in the past, this is absolutely his best year as head coach. This is the point you were making earlier, Jason. Mm-hmm. 2 big takeaways. First, penalties are under control in that Bucs game. Second, Teddy might be worth $7 million after all. Great game. Great job. So, yeah, let that be your open window to talk about Sean Payton and how he's the greatest coach since Bill Belichick.
I mean, it is. He just got that extension, and he is – I mean, what he has done with this team, it's still kind of incredible. When you lose a guy like Brees, who was, he was such in command of this team, and he goes down, and yeah, you lost to the Rams, and people are deflated, and to have the team come back like this, it's just these wins have been team wins. Everybody seems incredibly galvanized. He's had a really good game plan. Started Teddy off slow, getting them in there, but to do what they've done, especially beating some quality opponents, is truly remarkable. And of course, he probably won't get sniffed. I know a lot of the first quarter season awards columns have started to come out, and nobody's really mentioning him as coach of the year. But you have to look at the job he's done and say, what other coach could have lost Brees and stayed afloat like this? Not many.
Sure. Yeah, you would lose the team.
Yeah, I'm just glad they extended him before the Breeze injury, because
it would have cost a lot more money.
Right? Uh-huh. Now, it does also show that the strength that both Peyton and Loomis have done building this roster. I mean, this roster is loaded.
Well, and the funny thing is, it's loaded more from your draft than it is from your free agents.
Yeah. It's
like your draft picks.
They have two incredible drafts in the last 5 years. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know that any team has a draft like that, or two of them.
I mean, I like this. I mean, Ryan Ramczyk might be the best right tackle in the game right now. And he was an afterthought. I mean, we wanted Reuben Foster at that spot. San Francisco scooped him up, and we were all disappointed. Oh, we got to take a lineman. Okay. And all he's done is you know, they shut down Barrett, the guy for Tampa, who was leading the league in sacks, had 9 sacks through the first couple of games. And he did
no
nothing.
Sacks. I mean, right. All he had maybe was 2 tackles.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. In addition to shutting down Watt week one, he has been so damn good.
Yeah, and he shut down Watt, and then Watt's still leading the league in pressures too. So it's not like he shut down Watt and Watt's washed or something like that. He shut down the number one pressure guy in the league.
Right, and you can't say Watt was hurt either while it was happening either.
Yeah.
It's game one. All right. Who dat be? Says, now that Teddy's proving himself, do we need us to be concerned that someone's going to pick him up in the offseason?
I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. That's I'm not even trying to think about that right now, because if Breeze wants to come back and you got Teddy playing like this, I don't know what to do.
That's true.
Right, I mean, how much can you pay two quarterbacks? Because right, Breeze is coming back. We're going to have him. We're not going to say
no.
You're
not going to have both. I don't know. So I don't know how you would pay both. I can't see a scenario where you could afford to pay both.
And I know that the cap does continue to climb, but unless Breeze takes like a drastic pay cut, I don't know that you can keep both. If somebody comes to offer him $15, $20 million a year, which is the going rate.
So leads into this next tweet, which is from, let me check his name, American Red 212, first time tweeter, long time listener. He says, I don't know if he's a long time listener, I'll add that. This is a real question. He says, so get ready, folks. All right, he means this.
Uh-oh.
Can we send Teddy to Miami for their first round, pick Burrow first overall, and everybody wins? Teddy starts every week, makes a ton of money, Breeze trains Burrow, future is secured. Number 9 continues to play quarterback for the Saints.
Right.
I don't think anybody's giving a first round up for Teddy, first of all, but
you wouldn't if you were Miami?
Miami's tanking for Tua.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, yeah.
Although they have company.
Maybe a second round for Teddy, but I don't see anybody giving up a first.
So, yeah, we're just not going to get Burrow. That's just the way it's going to be.
Well,
in the way Teddy's playing, I don't need Burrow. I will take this Teddy as the quarterback that follows Drew Brees. If this is what we're going to get, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. He's good
especially
enough.
If he gets better. If he, like, he's every game he gets better. Keep getting better. Job's yours, buddy.
And he's still only 26 years old. And at this point, he's a proven commodity. As much as we all love Burrow, and yeah, maybe Burrow will pan out, a lot of these, half of these guys don't. So you're going to take a chance on a guy that, yes, we love him because he's LSU and he seems like a great leader and stuff. There's a chance he washes out. Uh-huh. At least we know what Teddy is.
Uh-huh. All right. Who dat Chris? I know everyone's getting all excited about the possibility of Breeze returning soon, but the way this team is starting to click with Bridgewater, keep him out until that Falcons game. We kind of exhausted that topic, so I'll keep going. Mm-hmm. Andy Bunker, the Falcons are the team you schedule for homecoming. Putting that out there.
So here's a question. Is Dan Quinn coaching the team when we play that game?
So I saw a few tweets that I didn't see anything that he's been fired. I don't know if that has happened. There was a few tweets I was looking at before we started the show that almost suggested that either he was or people are just kind of going with it. That
he has not. The only coach fired so far is Gruden, who's probably happy to be fired because that
Gruden
whole organization.
Washington, not Gruden.
Yeah, Redskins Gruden.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
He might go coach with his brother.
He's freed. I mean, that Washington organization is a fucking dumpster fire. Worst owner in the league.
Yeah, I agree. Chris Rosvaglu. Packers have beaten Mitch Trubisky, Joe Flacco, Dak, and Kirk Cousins. Saints have beaten Dak, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and Jameis Winston. Can you guess which team the national media believes is the NFC?
I heard it a lot today and yesterday in all the pods. I mean, the Saints are brought up, but everybody seems to bring up Green Bay first. Everybody loves sucking off Aaron Rodgers.
Whatever. You know what? I like it. I don't want to be the front runner. I don't want that.
It's not that Green Bay is not good either, but considering the job that we've done and the fact that we're gonna get the GOAT back, you know, we're getting him back fresh.
Yeah. And rehabilitated. He's gonna have he's got the bionic shoulder and the bionic hand.
Uh-huh.
That's all part of the plan. We did get a tweet from somebody, and I didn't save it, so I don't forget who it was, but he had asked if we'd be okay with him making a shirt that said, "Show me your teddies and I'll throw you some beads." And then he wanted the Dome Patrol podcast under it. So I'm like, yeah, do it. And as part of me wants to be like, as long as you like send us a free shirt.
Yeah, as long as I get a shirt. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
So, yeah, if you're going to do it for real, let us know. All right.
Shirts a long time ago.
That's right. I still got mine.
I still got mine, too.
It doesn't fit, but I still got
it. Right. It's a little tight.
All right. It's a muscle shirt now.
Yeah, right.
All right. It hides my muscles.
Yeah. All right.
Greenbaum with the final three of the night. I'm hearing the Saints connected to some wide receiver trade rumors. Do you think we'll trade for a wide receiver before the trade deadline?
I kind of think we might. Now, I don't know what they're going to get us. Today, Buffalo traded Zay Jones to – God, the trade just came over the wire. They traded him to somewhere for a fifth-round pick. A lot of people are – and I talked about it with James last week, so people are bringing up A.J. Green. I don't want A.J. Green. He's been injured a lot. He's older. I don't have a lot of faith.
And James wanted Larry Fitzgerald. I don't.
I'd rather a younger guy. If I'm going to trade something, I want somebody that can potentially grow the team.
Because that's the problem. I mean, I don't know who's going to be available. Like, we talked about Emmanuel Sanders, but what's the set? Like, he's probably got a decent salary. Can they fit under the cap? I know Loomis does work his magic, but how much are you willing to give up for a guy who may be short-term? Maybe that's – look, I know the Saints are going all in while they can before they have to pay a lot of these rookies, so maybe they just say fuck it and go for it. But to me, Emmanuel Sanders is a guy to watch. But I think they'll do something. I just think they have to. They can't. Although, hey, Teddy had a touchdown. You know,
they were chanting his name.
You're right.
So AJ Green's making like $10-12 million a year or something like that. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Well, and I feel like he's been hurt the last couple of years. Yeah. And it's not somebody I want to put my faith in. Look how excited we were last year for Dez, and he goes down, and we're back to where we were.
Speaking of, where is he, and what's the possibility? Or do you have no interest? You think he's pretty much done with football?
I don't know. I'd take a look. I'm sure we'd at least have taken a look, but
we've got to be on the inside of that.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to bring him in just to see what he's got, but I think when he's ready, he'll let us know. You know,
I think so. Spencer Gallen's joined. Hey, welcome to the show. Davis Douglas, going back to the Falcons, says Dan Quinn has Count Chocula's full confidence. So, all right. I tell you what, that's all I got for pick'ems. Keep the live.
You mean for tweets?
Yeah. Damn, man, I'm still getting on island time.
Hey, I made some mistakes too, you know. It happens.
I'm not supposed to make a mistake. All right, so that's all we have for pick'em. Shit!
Two times!
Damn it! All right, that's all we have for look at him tweets. Let's move into pick'ems. I was just giving you time to lick your fingers so you can get the pick'em score out there.
I don't want to get these pick'em scores out because these were not great. All three of us last week myself, you, and James, we all went 1-4, and we all won different games. I got Green Bay right and lost all the rest. You got Buffalo right and lost the rest. We went with Tennessee because we weren't sure whether or not Allen was going to play. And then James got Carolina right because they just continue to rely on McCaffrey. So Jeff, out of you and I, this ain't good. I'm showing me at 8-12 and you at 5-15. Yeah, not great.
I think I'm worse than that.
Yeah, let's see, Glenn. You get all right. So you were 0-5 in week two. You were
it's 3-2.
So that gives you a 3-7 record. Week four, you were 2-3, which brings you to 5-10. Right? Keep the math going. And this week you were 0-5. So I see what happened. I assumed you didn't submit picks because there were no highlights next to your name. So I deleted. I gave you the pass, the free. You should have taken the bye week. Is what you should have done. You shouldn't have said anything. So yeah, now you're 5-15.
5-15. Same as you.
Yeah.
Same as me. Welcome to the bottom of the barrel, where the only one worse is Neil.
Classic Neil.
Neil sucks. All right. What do we got today, this week?
All right. We do have another London game this week. And thankfully, the London game is going to be played early. That was very disappointing last week. He had so many games at noon, two games in the 4 o'clock window. But to me, whenever there's a London game, it should be on first thing in the morning. I don't know why they don't have a whole day of football. It kind of boggles the mind. But this is interesting. This is the second primetime game in the last couple of weeks for these two teams because they played on Thursday a couple of weeks ago. The NFC South is coming to London. The Carolina Panthers coming off a 7-point win at Jacksonville. They're 3-0 without Cam. Continue to ride Christian McCaffrey, who is the number one fantasy guy right now and has kind of put himself in the MVP conversation. They're playing Tampa, coming off that loss to us. I don't know what stadium in London it's in. I know Ben's going because he's got season tickets. But Tampa is getting one. Tampa gets one. So there really isn't a home team here, but Tampa gets one.
So my question is, our running, you say we struggled, we still did run for
we ran for 100 yards. Yeah,
how is their run defense? Because this game comes down to whether or not they can stop Christian McCaffrey. For me,
I'm gonna go ahead and say they can't, because it seems like nobody can.
I kind of agree, so I'm gonna take Carolina.
I'm taking Tampa. I think they did an okay job, like, limiting Kamara. So, I mean, similar to McCaffrey, but I don't know. They have their starters. I mean, I don't know. I just don't have any faith in Carolina yet. We'll see, though.
Yeah.
I'm probably wrong.
Your record suggests – well, one of us is getting the edge on this one.
Right. My head says Carolina. My heart says Tampa, because I don't like Carolina being only a game back. So I'm going to go with Tampa.
I love it.
I think that's my problem. Sometimes I pick with who I want to win, like, and it kind of like.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
All right, our next game, the Seattle Seahawks coming off a close win against the Rams last week. They're sitting there at 4-1. Russell Wilson having a really great season so far. They travel to Cleveland to play the Browns, who are currently playing San Francisco.
How's that looking right now?
I'm about to find out.
It's on a commercial right now, so I'm not really sure.
I know San Francisco had like a
– there was like 21-3,
49ers are up.
Yeah.
So this spread obviously was done before tonight's game. And somehow Cleveland's favored by 2.5 at home. So I'll make the easy pick and take Seattle.
I agree. Russell Westbrook is playing really, really well this year.
He couldn't beat the Saints, though.
Well, that's understandable.
Make it a Seattle three-way.
All right. Hey, all right. Well, you know, Russell is my fantasy quarterback who's given me like 38 points a week for the last couple of weeks. So,
speaking of fantasy, this week was a crazy week in fantasy. There were like four or five guys that got over like 40 points each. Like, I checked the scores, and they are just bonkers.
Yeah.
So many massive games this week.
Somebody gave me like 50 points this week, yeah.
Like, yeah, Will Fuller, DeSean Jackson, Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, Green Bay.
Yeah, and Aaron Jones had four touchdowns. Yeah, it was insane. All just right. Goes to say fantasy football is stupid. Anyway.
But nobody gives a fuck about your fantasy team.
Hey, I wasn't saying about I was just saying in general. I wasn't bragging about my team.
Well, there's nothing to brag about, right?
Oh, there is. I'm actually doing pretty well. All right, our next game. A battle of actually some winning teams. The Philadelphia Eagles coming off a win. Now, granted, they had an easy win. I believe it was against the Jets. Yeah, 31-6. They traveled to Minnesota to play a Vikings team who were coming off a win against the lowly Giants. So, yeah. So both teams sitting at 3-2. They both won handily last week but played some mediocre teams. This game's in Minnesota. Vikings favored by 3. Kirk Cousins actually threw for 300 yards last week. There were some issues with Adam Thielen the week before, bitching about not getting targets, and he had 130 yards and 2 touches last week.
I'm going to go with the Vikings because I think I could be wrong, but I think the Eagles' secondary is pretty bad right this year.
All right. I am going to go with Philly because Kirk Cousins does not beat teams with winning records.
Ooh. All right. I'm going to go with Minnesota because they're home.
Okay. And credit, I think Mike mentioned that a couple weeks ago, and I didn't follow him then, and I'm gonna believe him now.
What do you mention?
That Kirk Cousins has never beaten. He doesn't beat teams with winning records.
All right.
And our next game, an interesting matchup here. The Houston Texans coming off a thrashing of the Atlanta Falcons. 53 points. Deshaun Watson, 5 touchdowns. Will Fuller, 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. They traveled to Kansas City to play a Chiefs team who was coming off their first loss of the season to the Colts.
The Colts.
Patrick Mahomes looks human. He was limping around a lot in this game. I don't know how injured he is, but it looks like he's not going to be fully healthy. This game is at Arrowhead. The Chiefs still favored by 7.5.
I'll go first on this one, and I will take Houston to cover, not to win.
I'm going to do the same because with Mahomes being a little banged up, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And yeah. Houston plays close games. Like, I'm basing it on off the fires. And then I think the week 2 was a close one.
That's a lot of points. And if Mahomes was healthy, I think I'd give the points. But also, you know, they still don't have Tyreek Hill. Defense is a little banged up, so I'm gonna take the points just because it's too many.
Yep.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a.
Now I will say, this might be the shittiest game we have ever had. if it weren't for this game,
how
and these two...
shitty is it?
Well, let me tell you. if it weren't for these two teams playing each other, I think each team could go 0-16. That's how bad both of these teams are.
So it's the Jets and the
Miami Redskins.
Yeah, the Washington Redskins, having just fired their coach Jay Gruden, they're going to go with Bill Callahan. They are a mess. They have the worst owner in the league. They have one of the worst general managers in the league, and they're buddy-buddy, and he's never going to fire the GM, so this franchise will be mired in shit for a long time.
I'm happy to hear that, because I've never liked the Washington Redskins for some reason.
It's crazy. They do have a history. You know, I mean, they've got a bunch of Super Bowls, a really good history, strong franchise. At one time, had a strong fan base.
But until Snyder came in.
The years of Snyder ownership has just killed them. Like, somebody said they were like 65% Pats fans at the game this past week with New England there in Washington.
That's not a far drive either.
I mean, it's far enough.
No, not really.
But it's not just that game. Apparently, a lot of their games, there's so many away fans because Redskins fans don't want to go to the game. It's a shitty stadium. It's a shitty product.
Yeah.
It's a shitty situation all around.
And that's why they're in the shitty game of the week.
Right. So they travel to Miami to play a Dolphins team that, again, is shit. Traded away their good players. Trotting Josh Rosen out there. You feel
it's
for the
funny
kid.
Funny if he were alive, he'd be like, this is a full Sherman game.
As crazy as it, somehow Miami, this is crazy. Miami is getting 3.5 at home. That's how, like, as bad as Washington is, they're giving Miami points.
Miami will be giving points away.
Right. So they're probably not, Washington's probably apparently not going to go with Haskins. He's not ready. So they're going to be trotting out either Colt McCoy or Case Keenum. I don't know.
So the question is, when coaches are usually fired mid-season, the team that they get whatever, they usually play at least that one week, that one next week, pretty well. Because they're just motivated that they don't have their shitty coach. But Washington may be different.
I mean, Washington is top to bottom. Shit, like, Gruden's got to be relieved to not have to deal with that mess anymore.
He might have been tanking for a job.
And he's still getting paid. You know, they fire him, he still gets his contract. I think he had another year in his contract, so he's still getting paid.
I just think the problem is, I'm going to take Washington because they're getting points in Miami, and Miami is actively trying to lose, so they're going to lose the game. Period.
I thought Miami was getting points. Is Miami not getting points?
No, you're right. You are correct.
It's my annual messing up of the point.
It's his weekly.
Either way, Miami will lose by more than 4 points.
Give me the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins win outright.
Wow. By accident? Or?
I'm taking Miami. I'm hoping a 0-0 tie.
That would be
fantastic.
I wonder if that ever happened in the NFL, a 0-0 tie.
Maybe back in the 1930s.
Oy, oy, oy. Aaron King, don't send us your picks in the lot. Fine, I'll take them right now. All right.
Yeah, right. So that's your pick-ems for this week.
All right, that is pick-ems. Don't forget, everybody, tweet your pick-ems in. When I like them, I've recorded them. Get them in before the noon kickoff on Sunday if you want them to count. Hashtag pick'ems. In the meantime, let's get into Saints preview. Where we'll do this one quick because we're already at an hour. This one is the Saints are traveling to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, yeah. My dad's going to the game.
Oh, really?
He's got a buddy who lives in Jacksonville, so I think the last few times we've been to Jacksonville, he's gone.
All right.
We'll be at Minshew Mania this week. he had a pretty good game last week. I was really disappointed. I thought they could beat Carolina, but he threw for a lot of yards last week. DJ Chark continues his strong season, another couple of touchdowns last week, over 100 yards. Fournette with over 100 yards rushing, so that's two straight for him. So Jacksonville, you know, they haven't been winning a lot, but they're putting up some stats. They're still going to be without Jalen Ramsey, probably, because that whole situation is a mess. So that's good for the Saints. But, again, the key is going to be, you know, just stop Fournette. I mean, if you stop Fournette, I don't think Minshew is going to be able to do enough. And I don't think Chark is experienced enough. As good a season as he's had, if you put Lattimore on him, or even Apple, because Apple's played really well, considering what he did to Evans, he shouldn't have an issue doing that to Chark also. So I just think our defense continues to do what they've been doing. I shut down Fournette and hope, like James said last week, at some point the Minshew bubble is going to burst. Hopefully it's this week.
Should be.
Yeah, I mean, is Jalen Ramsey, their corner, is he playing? Or I know he was...
I saw he was getting checked out somewhere this week for a back injury.
I don't know. He's got something going on with him.
The whole situation with him is is just weird. Very weird. But as of now, I don't anticipate him playing. So, you know, without him, that's a big boost for our offense. And just, you know, we are a better team than they are, hands down.
Would you say they've imploded at this point?
No, I don't think so.
Or are they just a middling team?
Right now they're middling, but I think there is some excitement with Minshew. I think he's played pretty well for a rookie. I think the fans are kind of behind him a little bit. I know they're doing – they were doing some kind of like Minshew giveaway at the game, like giving out like the mustaches. Not mustache rides, but mustaches.
He gives out the mustache rides.
Right. But
yeah,
I think there is
– they're rallying around him, so mm-hmm. –
He's not Blake Bortles.
Well, nobody is, really. I mean.
All right. What do you think the score is going to be?
I'm going to go with 28-17.
31-20. Saints, obviously.
All right. See, I'm thinking the defense is going to really shut it down here. I think we hold them to 10. And then I think Teddy throws another 3 touchdowns. And then we get a little bit of a running game going. I'm going to say 34-10.
Well, apparently Minshew can scramble a little bit. He rushed for 42 yards last week, so that's something to keep an eye on, too. He threw for 374, and he rushed for 42.
Okay. It's cute.
They did lose
their last game.
They lost 34-27 to Carolina this week. They did lose their starting tight end, O'Shaughnessy, towards ACL, so he's gone.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron! Now take your ass on down to Oshag Hennessy's office right now and tell him exactly what you did.
Who?
Oshag Hennessy!
Principal O'Shaughnessy?
Get out of my goddamn classroom before I break my foot off in your ass! Insubordinate and churlish.
So they're not going to have him. So really, you're looking at stop Fournette, DJ Chark, and then D.D. Westbrook, a guy out of the slot, kind of quick. So those are the guys you got to watch out for.
Okay.
Yeah, I know nobody wants to hear about my fantasy team, but I got Chark, and I don't know whether to start him against the Saints defense.
I wouldn't. Do you have somebody on the bench that you could plug in for a week? It's like a bye week for you.
It's crazy that because normally you're like, start all your players against the Saints. Start them all.
Yeah.
And now you're like, no, I mean, yeah, not the way they've been playing.
No. All right, that's our Saints preview. And then what we'll end on, our final thought here, there is a comment from Spencer from the live stream that talks about the whole trading for a wide receiver point. Which I think is worth mentioning. He says, what would we have even to give away when we have so much going on across the board? I'd hate to move anyone, and we need to salvage our picks.
Yeah, we already gave up a second-round pick to move up to get McCoy, so we don't have a second.
Yeah, I mean, you could give up a fourth or fifth-round pick maybe, but I don't like – I don't know. We tend to give away draft picks – pretty easily here, and I know we're going for it, but at some point
I'm
when
okay
you start
giving up a fourth or fifth,
I don't want to give away anything high, because at some point, you know, we got some free agents coming up. We're not gonna be able to keep everybody, and we're gonna have to replace them, so we're gonna need those picks. So depending on who it is, I don't like giving up a ton.
All right,
for receiver.
All right, and so your final thoughts there, Jason?
My final thought will be, so tonight we had the first Pelicans preseason game. They defeated the Hawks. I know that the results don't matter, but a lot of dunks from Zion already. Lonzo Ball made some threes. The team looked really, really good. And they had an open practice this past weekend at the arena, open for ticket holders and fans, whoever, just to see the team practice in the arena. There were over 10,000 fans at a practice. Fans were lined up outside the arena hours before. It is my season tickets came in last week, so I'm excited. But it's still crazy to think the excitement and the turnaround of this team from just a few months ago when Davis demanded a trade. I think it's still incredible what they've done, and you know, we've kind of got some you know, training camp videos unleashed here or there on Twitter and Facebook, but I know I say this every year, I'm really fucking excited about this team.
I mean, I hope it pans out.
I mean, I know you're not going to believe until...
Health-wise.
Well, we did bring in the best trainer in the league from Phoenix, so that's going to help.
Oh, we're not using Oshner anymore.
But I just think this Zion thing is crazy, and I don't know. I can't believe that we have Zion, and I can't believe that they've been able to do this turnaround in such a short time.
All right, Fitz, you got a final thought?
No, I'm just excited about the defensive line. I mean, Davenport. I don't know how you stop him and Cam on if Davenport keeps playing the way he's playing. It's almost unstoppable. I mean, you got to, I don't know, put some tight ends in there and limit your offense to try to stop them. I don't know. That's it.
That's insane. All right, that's all the show we have for you. Yes, thank you for joining us. And thank you, everybody, for watching. And that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. Like us on Facebook to watch these live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or to listen as an alternative to all of your podcast apps, as Jason likes to say. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, there is always Dome Patrol podcast.
Dagum.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Jason, screwing up the outro donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.